Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, February 1st, 2019, and today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 5, the second full paragraph, which begins, "Gradually things got worse." We're going to read through 4 paragraphs on page 5. Today's readers are A.J. N. on the 12 Steps, Betsy H. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Jackie H., Julie E. B., and Jordan L. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask A.J. N. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is A.J., compulsive overeater in Ohio. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, AJ. And Betsy H., would you please read our 12 traditions?
Hi, I'm Betsy H. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you, Betsy H. Let's see, how our meeting works. Meeting focuses on the directions for recovery in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we begin our study on page 5 of the Big Book, the second full paragraph, and I will ask Jackie H. to get us started.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much for your service. It's great to be here. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. Gradually, things got worse. The house was taken over by the mortgage holder. My mother-in-law died. My wife and father-in-law became ill. Then I got a promising business opportunity. Stocks were at the low point of 1932, and I had somehow formed a group to buy. I was to share generously in the profits. Then I went on a prodigious bender, and the chance vanished. I woke up. This had to be stopped. I saw I could not take so much as one drink. I was through forever. Before then, I had written lots of sweet promises, but my wife happily observed that this time I meant business, and so I did. Shortly afterward, I came home drunk. There had been no fight. Where had been my high resolve? I simply didn't know. It hadn't even come to mind. Someone had pushed a drink my way and I had taken it. Was I crazy? I began to wonder, for such an appalling lack of perspective seemed near being just that. Well, lots of things stick out here. First, he's incredibly, incredibly resourceful and seems to always have things come up for him. And what this takes me back to, honestly, is my childhood. When I first started eating uncontrollably, I remember I was 12, and my mom was an untreated Al-Anon, an untreated compulsive overeater, and weighed 350 pounds, and there was no way I was going to be like her, but I liked to eat, so I found my solution. I found that I could eat whatever I want and then I could purge. And so started my horrible, horrible journey with food. And I remember at night going to bed and thinking, I could die. I didn't know that I really could have, but praying, I won't do this tomorrow. I had this resolve, and it really was. I really did mean business. I was not going to do it again. And then the morning came, and I did it again. And, wow, what a crazy way to live. And as I got older, you know, my whole food addiction changed, and it went from binging and purging to restricting and restricting, and this diet and that diet. My whole life was caught up around what my body looked like, what food I wasn't going to eat, what food I could eat. Once in a while, I'd overeat, and sure enough, I would go purge. It wasn't to the extent that it was when I was little, but it was still there. And wow, what a way to live! And I am so grateful. Here I am, so many years later. I did not know that I had a problem. I thought I was crazy. Was I crazy? Yes, I was most certainly. I thought I was crazy. I had no idea the whole gamut, the wholeness of this disease, the physical allergy, the mental obsession, the spiritual malady. And when I came in here in July, all of that came together for me. And today, thank you, God, as a result of putting down these alcoholic foods that were absolutely my enemy. They were my enemy. And I knew it somehow underneath, but whatever, I still ate them on occasion. But I come in, put my alcoholic foods down, find a person with whom the problem had been solved, went through the steps. I have today a design for living. My food, all my food is fuel to bring me, get me up going in the mornings and get me through the day so that I can be of maximum service to God and my fellows. And today, food is not the first thing on my mind. I get to show up. I get to show up in all the beauty that I am inside that God has made me. And I get to share this beautiful program with people who are still suffering. I had no idea that I thought I was the only one. I really did, until I came into this program and I see all the people that are suffering, and what a joy it is to say there is a solution and this is it. Thank you for letting me share, and I will pass.
Thank you, Jackie H. Okay, I'd like to take a list of people who would like to share.
Laura W.
Lisa G.
Okay,
Laura L.
I'm sorry, I just heard Laura W.
One Lisa of the, G.
Lisa
Tara L. E-B.
Tara L.
Julie.
Lisa, did I hear Lisa B?
Lisa G, as in go.
Got it. I got you, Lisa. Okay.
Thank you. Julie E.B.
Julie E.B.
Beatrice L.
Say it again, please.
Beatrice L.
Beatrice L. And one more I heard what came in was Beatrice.
Janice.
Jordan L. Yes.
Okay, Janice P.M. So I have Laura W., Lisa G., Tara L., Julie E.B., Beatrice L., and Janice P.M., and we'll get others later. Please go ahead, Laura.
Thanks, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And, you know, gradually things got worse. I kind of laughed at that because the page before, the stock market crashed, liquor ceased to be a luxury, and he was drinking bathtub gin, two bottles a day, and I'm thinking, God, how much worse can it get? But, you know, as we know, this disease is progressive. And looking back at my disease, when I thought it was at its worst and I continued on, and then I looked back, I thought, wow, it wasn't so bad then. It just gets worse and worse and worse. What really stuck out to me was his ego. You know, he uses one little sentence and says, the house was taken over, my mother-in-law died, and my wife and father-in-law became ill. That's all he says about that. That's all he says about those horrific events happening. And then he goes on to say, then I got a promising business opportunity. The stocks were low, and I formed a group to buy, and I was going to share generously. And it was all about him and the money. And then he goes on a bender. Like, he couldn't even stay sober for this great deal. And it reminds me, I can't do this alone. You know, I can't stay abstinent and just go about my day abstinence is a byproduct of this program. You know, abstinence is just the beginning. Once the food is down, that has to come first. The rest is kind of, you know, the rest is all about my higher power and dealing with life and dealing with all of these built up human emotions. And I learned through some of our Big Book experts that he got this promising business opportunity here where I live in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. I thought, wow, how cool, you know? And he wakes up, he has to be stopped. I can't tell you how many times I said, I'm going to stop doing this. You know, let me just lose a few more pounds and get a cushion so that then I can go eat normally again. And I meant business, I really did. And I maybe would eat healthy for a day or two, and then I'd go back to my starvation mode and over-exercising. And shortly afterwards, I came home drunk, he said. That was my life. There's never was a high resolve. You know, good intentions mean nothing. I've learned over the past many years in this program that action is what makes this program work. Action and surrender to my higher power and to get out of myself. Words and actions need to match. And I'm so grateful for this great, great reading today. Thanks for letting me share, Kathy. Pass.
Oh, sorry. Laura W., thank you so much for your share. Lisa G., please share with us. Lisa, press star 1 to unmute. Okay, it looks like we lost.
Oh, here I am. I'm here. Sorry. I'm sorry. This is Lisa G. from Texas. First time for me to share. I'm kind of nervous, but I so related to this reading. When I go back and read, first of all, I have 5 days of abstinence. That's what I want to say. And when I go back through my journals and I see all the times I wrote, God, please help me not eat tomorrow. Please help me not eat tomorrow. And then, you know, I would binge at night and just be up till 1 a.m. stuffing my face and say, when I got through with that last bite, almost unable to move, I would say, I'm not doing this tomorrow. I'm not doing this tomorrow. And I did that dance for years. And, you know, doing that dance is a great way to absolutely kill your self-esteem, because it showed me, I didn't see it at the time, but it just wiped away any integrity I had with myself. And I hated myself. I would stand in front of the mirror and just say horrible things to myself that I would never say to another person. And being able to not eat like that again, and I've been in another food program for 10 years, and I haven't eaten like that in a long time. However, I also have not been abstinent for the last 2 years. And, you know, it's just, it's cunning, baffling, and powerful. This disease is progressive, like somebody else said, and it doesn't get better. It only gets worse unless I'm working this program. And I'm really grateful to have found Vision. I've been listening since November, and it's a whole new ball game with this phone call, and I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Lisa G., and do keep coming back. Kara L., please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Kara L. from Southern California, recovered compulsive overeater. I'm so excited. I love this. I just read with a sponsee last night, and I was just, it builds story. It just speaks to me like it never has before. There were so many amazing things that are in here, and I love this. I woke up. This had to stop. I saw I could not take so much as one drink. I was through forever, and I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me, that I woke up the next morning, I was done, I was eating my abstinent breakfast, and then I would eat the whole entire rest of the day because I had no design for living. I had, even though I thought I had no reliance on my higher power, I was still fully in self-will. And I would start my day in self-will and thought that I could solve my problem. And I didn't know how to turn it over to higher power. I didn't, even though I would say the prayers and I would go to the meetings, and it wasn't until I came into Vision that, you know, I reworked my steps and with vigorous honesty, and that I got the full spiritual awakening. And today I see so many things in my life that, oh, this is going this way because I'm in my will. And then I do a 10-step and I call a fellow and I get out of my will and I ask what my higher power would have me be. And things just work out because I'm not doing it. I said, I am asking for help from a higher power. I'm asking help from my fellows. And it's not me anymore. If my best laid plans worked out, I wouldn't know what to do, right? They never did. So I am so grateful for this meeting. I'm grateful for a vision for you. And I will pass. Thank you, everyone.
Sarah L. Julie E.B., please share with us.
This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today. Looking at the Garden of the Gods, so much is bigger than me, and all I could see was me. And as I hear this part of Bill's story, I'm just struck by the fact that, you know, he's asking this question, am I crazy? I mean, I thought no one else could tell I had this disease, but I know I lost promising business opportunities because, you know, when you're over 100 pounds overweight, people look at you and they judge that you can't handle your life, you can't manage your life, whatever it is their thoughts are. Also, I couldn't, it's just the wrong moment. I would hide just when I could lean in to a relationship. You know, I raised three kids in this disease, and yesterday, one of my family members got a year of abstinence, and she's just a young adult, and you know, she was my eating buddy, and you know, spent her childhood, middle school, in the food and feeling bad about herself. Was I crazy to do this to my kids too, to act like this was all fun and games when I was really losing and missing out on life? And then I'd go back and I'd, you know, try again, and I would go on a diet. I would do whatever that I would, as someone said on the line one day, you know, I would eat to numb. And then I would restrict to control, to get that sense of control that I'm in charge. But I wasn't in charge of anything. And I don't like the word crazy because some people I love suffer mental illness. But this is his thoughts inside. And this was where my mind would go, up, down, inside, swinging from grandiose thoughts to just back to anxious, depressed thoughts that I was nothing. I was everything and I conquered the world, and then I was nothing. And if you're swinging back and forth, know that this program, the simple program of action, you know, in Acceptance is the Answer, it says, I judged myself by my intentions, but the world judged me by my actions. My actions spoke loud for a long time, and now I'm seeking to have my actions say that there is a power greater than me, that I am not the center of the universe. I am not the sun. I'm just a little tiny star rotating around with the rest of you. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Beatrice O., please share with us.
This is Beatrice O. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. What I got out of this is in the paragraph right before, he says, nevertheless, I still thought I could control. And I think that was the driving force that kept me in and out of the food for so long. And the part where it says, was I crazy? I think there was a part of me sometimes that thought that I was crazy. I come from a lot, my entire family is crazy. there's a lot of mental illness, codependence, and fatherless children, bipolar, addiction is rampant in my family. And that cognitive disordered thinking is, my entire family has it. They're sick. And I spent a lot of time begging God, and I know that my addiction has, I have a amnesia. You know, I forget the pain of the last binge. It disappears when I'm ready to pick up. It was like this driving force. You know, and at work, I always, you know, I learned early, like maybe 5 years old, that I had to put on, you know, it was like the great facade, the great cover up, that I learned how to maneuver and survive, and thought I was in control over myself and others. And I needed therapists and doctors to tell me, you're not crazy. And I said, well, I feel crazy. I feel crazy, and I'm binging and eating. So I needed people I trusted, like a doctor or a therapist, to tell me, no, B, you're not crazy. So, you know, I always had those great resolves. And today I'm abstinent, and I don't have that food in my system. So I don't have that craving anymore. And I'm finally at peace with the food. I had to turn my back on the food. What helped me as a child turned out it was killing me at the same time. It's like a double-edged sword. Anyway, so thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Beatrice. Janice PM, please share with us.
Well, thank you, Kathy K. This is Janice PM, and I'm a happy, recovered, compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Boy, oh boy, does this whole page hit me. You know, we remember, at least I remembered, that we recently read that Dr. Silkworth said that I put it in the I, that we cannot differentiate the truth from the false. Now, everything's going to hell in Bill's life, his drinking, his thinking, his life situations, but he doesn't know that yet until, yeah, he gets a little glimpse of it in paragraph, you know, 4 after, you know, gee, he really meant to stop. He really meant to stop. When it says gradually things got worse, well, what are the things? Because his thinking got worse, life got worse, his illness was progressing, he was having more pain. But he didn't know he was powerless. See, this is the underlying thread. He didn't know he was powerless. He still, like it's been said, I still thought. Well, thought is your is my thinking. And until I could surrender the idea that, okay, Janice, you can't control this thing, no matter someday, like you always said, someday, somehow, some way, I'm going to be able to do this. Well, there came the day when I couldn't, you know, and I'm so grateful today that, you know, things in life, I used to blame my husband. I used to blame the doctor. I used to blame this, that, the sponsor. And it was, they did not put the substance in my mouth. I'm the one that invited the disease back in. They didn't do anything. It was my mind that controlled my hand for whatever insanity I was thinking. Then, you know, things go good and still, So it doesn't matter, happy, sad, glad, or tired, like I used to be. I had a binge again, and I just couldn't understand it with some more pain, more progression. And then, so now he's starting to see, did I still think I could control? Yeah. But what did he do, like myself? Sometimes I did it on purpose. Sometimes I didn't know why I did it. Well, I know why. Because I didn't have a psychic change yet. My body can't take it. And my mind cannot leave it alone. That was my obsession. And I think my time is up, so I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice PM. Okay, I'd like to take some more names of people who would like to share.
Irma.
Who is that?
Rod.
Kat K.
Irma.
Donna Penny L. Donna B.
Okay, one second. The very first name I did not get.
Irma.
Amelia O.
Okay.
Irma,
what's your last initial?
S.
Thank you, Irma. I have Roz G, Pat K, and Penny L.
Lindsay B.
Penny L. C.
Susie E.B. And Penny, did I get you wrong? Which Penny is it?
It's Penny L. C. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Penny. Okay, let's stop there.
Did you get Lindsay B?
Okay, Lindsay B. Hopefully we'll have time for you too, Lindsay. So we have Irma S., Roz G., Pat K., Penny L.C., Susie E.B., and Lindsay B. Irma S., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Irma. Blessed to be in recovery today.
You're breaking up a lot, Irma.
Oh, you can't hear me?
You're still breaking up. Are you on a...
Wait, let me see. I shouldn't be. Wait. Hello? Is that better? Hello?
I think you better call back in, and I'll come back to you.
I wasn't meant to... I was meant to listen. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry about that. Roz G., please share with us.
Hi, Kathy. It sounded like you were breaking up as well, but let's give it a try.
Okay, I'm off my speaker. Go ahead.
Okay, my name is Roz G. Thank you, Kathy. I'm Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater driving in some dense fog right now. But I wanted to focus on the things that go wrong, okay? I have a lot of examples I could use, but I'm thinking about a time in my life when my husband, my two kids, I have three, but I had two at the time, moved from being close to my family to a place in the desert where there was no family. It was me, my two kids, and my ex-husband, my now deceased ex-husband. And we were living in this house that we couldn't afford by ourselves with no family around. And I stopped working, and he worked for us. He worked two jobs, so he was gone 6 days a week. And so I became very depressed because no family was around, and I really didn't know too many people in my neighborhood. And so what became my friend? Chocolate chip cookie dough, okay? I put it in the oven just enough so that it was soft enough to be able to, you know, put in my mouth. But when my kids took their naps, I was into the dough. And, of course, I had no clue what it was doing to me. I knew that it was making me feel really good and warm and that I had had some friend, and that was the dough. But, you know, what it was doing to me was making me pass out and get into a food coma and then waking up feeling really horrible and gaining weight. And all the dreams that I had, I wanted to be a comedian. I wanted to be the next Carol Burnett. I have very good comedic timing. but all I did was eat and get depressed, and all those dreams went out the window and vanished, just like I'm vanishing in this fog right now. what a beautiful visual example of my dreams vanishing away into the chocolate chip cookie dough. So today, you know, just to bring it back to today, I'm very grateful that I had to go through those painful circumstances. And, you know, that things come along that can sometimes have a domino effect, because I'm living in reality. Life is in session. And when things go wrong, I have tools today. Thank God I have a sponsor. I have the 10-step tool, and the 11th and the 12th, and these meetings. And so I have a defense, which is, of course, a power greater than myself. Thank you, and that with that, I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. I'm going to ask Irma S.
Can you hear me now or no?
Yes. Go ahead, Irma. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
That was I was meant to listen. That's what I said. You know, that's how far I've come in the program. I really think that the step two, the came to believe, you know, I wanted to come in and do 12 steps in 12 minutes and then graduate and move on. And, you know, I look at food and everything so differently. I just lost a mother-in-law who is like a mother to me. And, you know, if I was to sit and eat, instead of putting my hand to my mouth, I would be putting my hand over my eyes so that I could not see what was beautiful in my life too. Now, I was lucky in many ways because I remember when I first came into the program, I had 10 pounds to lose, so things weren't that bad. 30 some odd years later, it took its toll on my life and health and almost took my life. And the thing is that, and I used to be grateful for that, but now I see, like, the reason I don't want to pick up the food is that I want to keep this spiritual feeling. It's so much of a better feeling than the food could ever give me. And when I heard the last person share, and they were sharing about what their binge food was, you know, I smiled and I thought, oh, my God. I went to a rehab years ago and they said, what has the food done for you? And then they had the people, I was in the middle, and they had the people keep closing in more and more and more till I finally almost couldn't breathe. And my dad was an executive with Nabisco, so I used to say my dad was one of the head drug pushers in my substance. But to give up this beautiful relationship that I have now, that's so much longer. One bite, is that worth a lifetime of joy? One bite, is that worth the pain that it gives me? One bite, is that worth being in intensive care in a hospital one more time? You know, and when I sponsor people, you know, I think another program has taught me to detach with love. And, you know, and I say to them, too, it doesn't hurt you enough yet. And they'll say, well, this is, I said, it has to hurt enough. You know, you have to feel it down in your soul to make that change. The first time that I got abstinent, and I got abstinent in the HOW program, and it was because I wanted to step up and get the cactus and stand in front of the room and be in the circle. And that wasn't for me. It was good that it got me there, but I stepped up and jumped off. Now I have such a deep spiritual relationship with the world around me. Why want that one bite to bite off the beauty that I have in my life? And having just lost my mother-in-law, I can feel her around me now. I don't want that to go away. And the last thing I have to say very quickly is that just to show there are no coincidences, that there was a marathon. The day after she passed away, there was a marathon on the phone, and I was, like, really very, very upset because she considered me a daughter. And I just called the number that you call in, and what was it? It was the marathon, and I stayed on it all day. What a wonderful thing. That's probably what my mother-in-law meant for me to have that day. So, you know, when you go to take the bite, you miss the best. That's the truth. Like, I have the best now. And I always told my kids we're rich with love. And that's the point, is that if you take the bite, you'll miss the best. And thank you so much for being here and for sharing and for your patience and kindness.
Thank you, Irma S. Pat K., please share with us.
Hi, this is Kat K., recovered compulsive.
Yeah, go ahead,
No problem. recovered compulsive overeater. Just really thankful this morning to be on the line. I just wanted to share from my experience that, you know, as we're in Bill's story, for me, I know intellectualizing how to treat my compulsive overeating didn't work for me. When I intellectualized why I was eating, that was when I scrambled for every different quote unquote scientific food, plan, eating, diet, whatever, exercise, the best way to burn fat, the whatever. And to me, that awareness or what did my family do to wrong me that I've been this way? Why, they're alcoholics or this or that. And just trying to create reasons in my head why I am the way I am. And it wasn't until I started working these steps when I became desperate enough that I just did the action steps that my sponsor laid out. And I stopped questioning. I stopped asking, well, why do we have to do this? Why is this? Why is that? There has to be some clear explanation and reason or clear evidence of why this works, or else, like, I just can't believe in it. Like, where's the proof? And I was the skeptic that we agnostics really strongly talks about, and I would scoff at things that didn't meet the criteria of explanation that I found reasonable enough. And that was how I was, and I ate over it. I ate over the inability to understand what makes me different, and I suffered from this idea that I'm so unique from others that I have to have a special way of doing things. And you know, today I'm so thankful. I can just do what's prescribed and be another bozo on the bus, as they say. And for me, seeing in Bill's story, I mean, I definitely relate to the looking down on others in one moment and then turning around and feeling significantly less, like I don't deserve my space on this earth, in another moment. So all because of my intellectual rationalizing of life, that just simply did not work. It never helped me be able to put the food down. So I'm thankful today that I can just trust, I can just listen, I can pray, and I can do my part, but don't own the result. I don't own the result. So thank you so much for letting me share, and thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Kat K. Penny L.C., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I think about the perspective of reading these paragraphs and looking in on Bill's life and seeing what seems obvious from the observer of how he's continuing to do the same thing he's done before and expecting a different result. And yet, what is he doing? You know, he can't see what he can't see, as a fellow says, and he doesn't know what he doesn't know. You know, he's not met Dr. Silkworth yet, and he doesn't know the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, and yet he is completely wrapped up in it, as I was. And I couldn't see what I couldn't see. All I knew, just like Bill, is that my self-will was what I had to go on, my self-propulsion. Trying harder, swearing it off, only to succumb once again. And I think about that, you know, that whole awareness had to come. It had to get to a point where it was my life was so compromised and my disease had gotten to critical level before I was willing to surrender and consider a completely different way. But I am so grateful that when I was ready, that there was the 12-step process waiting for me, and that this has all been discovered and uncovered. And I thank Bill for that process that he had to go through when others were wondering what in the world was going on with him. And I can see now that this was all for a reason, for a purpose, that he was to uncover and discover more about himself that would allow me the same process for recovery. And I'm extremely grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Penny, LC. Susie EB, please share with us. Press star one, Susie. Okay, I don't hear Susie, so I'll move on to Lindsay B. Please share with us, Lindsay.
Good morning, my fellow visionaries. This is Lindsay B. calling from New Hampshire, compulsive overeater. And powerful, powerful paragraphs. Then I went on a prodigious bender and the chance vanished. And I think from the youngest, I can remember how many possibilities I, you know, threw away because of fear and turning to my substance. And, you know, I started using at such a very young age, probably before I was five. And a lot of the things I think about Bill, that was Bill was able to achieve, I simply couldn't. I was never present in school. I was convinced I didn't have a brain. I just was going on benders at a very young age. And of course, I got progressively worse. And I remembered I so much wanted to be a performer, an actress, and had the opportunity, was given a high recommendation from a successful actor at a, you know, prestigious school in London. And I couldn't follow through with it because I never knew whether I was going to be waking up from a food log or my weight just would just go up and down and up and down. And back then, you know, people didn't even look at you if you were a little, you know, overweight or whatever. It was, at least that was my, you know, my belief. That was my belief. And there we go, probably something made up. I had a belief that I couldn't possibly go to acting school unless I was, you know, perfect. And then more recently, you know, which is kind of hard to say out loud, but I had... you know, made the decision to go to the LA birthday party, and I had my ticket and I had my room and I had my, you know, parking at the airport paid for. And I talked myself out of it. The fear set in. And in order to, just in case there was any doubt, you know, I was binging. And the idea of going on that plane in this state, where I knew that I was, you know, probably going to eat my way there, and showing up at that birthday party in the food was more than I could bear. And so much of it was my pride, like Bill has all this pride. And the other times I've shown up at conventions, I've been doing really, really well, you know, and the idea of having people, my people, see me, you know, in this disease was more than I could bear, my ego. And I have to say, while that was an awful thing, that Sunday during the birthday party, something switched for me. I took some action I'd never taken before. And I've been abstinent ever since. And, you know, doing things, more things that I wasn't willing to do, even though I've been in and out of these rooms for decades. You know, it's never too late to get it. And I am loving Bill's story in a way I have never loved it before. And, you know, I never thought I'd say this, but it might even be my favorite chapter, which is so strange for me to say. With that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Lindsay B. We're going to close the meeting now a minute early because I forgot to share the share IDs at the beginning of the meeting. So I want to tell you that the share ID for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, Eastern Time, is 12,491. That's 12491. And the share ID for yesterday's Thursday, 10 a.m. East Coast meeting is 12,488 or 12488. And I want to thank you all who were here today and listened and shared for a really good meeting. I'm very grateful to have been here. I want to thank in particular AJN, Betsy H, Jackie H, Julie E.B., and Jordan L. For helping me do service. And our newcomer greeter, Leslie M., who will pick up after we finish our prayer and closing. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Julie E.B., would you please read A Vision for You on page 164?
Our book is meant to be, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggested only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away. There goes my text. Just a second. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.